Welcome to Shofar Cape Town South Sermon Podcast. We trust that today's message will edify and strengthen your faith.
I want to actually just start off on that point. You know, if you look at the book of Acts, it says that they went from house to house, the early believers. They had fellowship with one another and they broke bread. In other words, they spent a lot of time together. And that is such a crucial, that is so core to Christianity. Kenny, a couple of weeks ago, he shared a message on community. And such a moving message. I was personally so encouraged. But I want to encourage you to prioritize community. And it's not going to happen automatically. It's something that we choose to engage with community. And so just a couple of things I want to point your attention to. But, you know, especially in a city, you know, I know some of us live out there in Musenburg, which is, you know, there's quite a bit of a distance factor. So we need to be intentional when it comes to community. And so we do a yearly camp that I specially asked Danielle if we can reopen the camp entries. And especially if you did not get the information, I don't think we maybe have been very clear about this, but there will not be a service on the 27th of October because we're going to be having camp. But the camp's still open. If you want to register and still join us, the registration's closed on Tuesday. So turn to someone next to you and say, if you're going to pitch up here the 27th, you know, you're going to be here by yourself. All right, so there's going to be no service on the 27th of October because we're all going away to Montague. Yeah. Right, that's going to be great. And the theme for the conference, of the weekend, not the conference, the weekend, it's going to be a fellowship camp, but the theme is rekindling your calling. Okay, so we're going to do some practical stuff, but it's mostly just going to be social. We're going to be camping. Danielle, can you help me? Are there some glamping options available still? Okay. Oh, wow. Okay. Okay. Do you mind if I ask people to speak to you after the service? If you need to register for camp, please speak to Danielle. Thank you so much. And then secondly, another opportunity. Again, we need to be intentional. We're going to watch the rugby next week. All right? So after the service, straight away, we hope to have the screens full by then. So we're going to have a big screen rugby. So please join us for the rugby. Some community building there. And then finally, after the service, we're going to have a shortened service this morning because we want to give everyone an opportunity to join our annual general meeting, which is going to be, so we're going to have 20 minutes of word, then we'll break quickly for coffee and just socializing. The kids' church people will still be busy, and then the AGM will start at 11:30, all right, not 12 as we advertised. All right, so I'm going to jump right into the word this morning. We're busy with a series on growing in discipleship and relearning the art of discipleship. Discipleship is a two-way thing. It's both being a disciple of Jesus Christ, but also making disciples, as Matthew chapter 28, Jesus sends us into this world. He says, go and make disciples. And so the moment you stop making disciples is actually the moment you stop being a disciple. It's core to discipleship is both following Jesus, being a follower of him, and pouring your life into others. And so I want to continue that series this morning. And in fact, some people pointed out that we need to refocus and pay attention to one of our values, which is cultivating awareness. So Alain, if you can just put on the next slide, you'll see there are the values of the church. I'm going to quickly go through them. Knowing God, living with fire, being together, like camping, cultivating awareness, which we are touching on this morning, and then intentionally outward, like Megan helped us this morning. Right, so cultivating awareness. I can do a whole sermon on this. Like I said, I'm going to be short this morning. I can do a sermon series on this. We've actually got a whole short course on this topic, which is called School of the Nations. So if you haven't done it, you're very welcome to join us. Jamie, what's the date? The 15th of November, am I right? Till the 22nd. Thank you, Kiara. Announcements focused person. All right, so if you want to join us for that, it's really a great time to spending together with people, growing on cultural awareness and people awareness. And yes, the amazing thing is God sees us, and He sees us how He's made us to be. All right, we go through this life, and there's a struggle through this life. There's, like Jesus says, the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So you have an enemy that is intentional from the day that you are born to wreak havoc in your life, right? He wants to do his utmost best because you remind him of the one that destroyed him on the cross. Did you know that, right? You look like Jesus. Did you know that? You are created in the image of God. So when the devil sees you, you remind him of God, right? Have you ever thought of it that way? Right, so he is really intentional in destroying people's lives. You don't have to look far to be able to see the destruction of the enemy. He's at work all over and everywhere to destroy lives. That's what Jesus says. But Jesus says, the good news is the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come to bring life and life in abundance. Isn't that amazing? Right? Then, John 3:16 says, Jesus did not come to condemn this world, but he came to bring life, right? So we have the source of life, and that is amazing because we can engage with that life. And so in the same way that God sees us, he expects of his children to see others as he sees them, right? And this is not necessarily so automatic. This is something that we need to train ourselves to look at people with different eyes. So you'll see the value there is eyes, right? The image of eyes looking and seeing. So firstly, God sees us for who he's made us to be. And secondly, we see people and we look at them as how God has created them to be, right? Regardless of culture, regardless of background, regardless of even things that people have done, right? Jesus looks right past your sin, and he sees the true you. And that is a challenge for us, right? To look right past the sin and to see the real person, right? And that is one of our values as a church, is we value seeing how God sees. I love this Living Bible translation of 2 Corinthians 5, verse 16. This is so powerful. You can read this over and over. Paul says, so stop evaluating Christians by what the world thinks about them or by what they seem to be like on the outside. Once I mistakenly thought of Christ that way, merely as a human being like myself, how differently I feel now. Powerful stuff. Paul, this enemy of Jesus, and I mean, when we say enemy, he was the enemy of enemies. He killed people that associated with this Christ. If they were followers of Jesus, he would kill them, like en masse. The phrase the Bible uses is the wreaked havoc amongst the Christians, right? That's how anti-Jesus he was, right? But he says, the mistake I made was this, is I looked at Jesus, and I looked, and I saw just the outside. I saw just what's perceived by the natural senses. And I make conclusions based on those natural conclusions, and on those I acted, right? It's belief is powerful, right? If you believe something over someone, that belief is powerful because that belief guides the way you act, doesn't it? Right? And so we see here, Paul was a very passionate person with the wrong belief. He had a wrong perception of Jesus. But he says, in the same way I made that mistake, don't make that mistake amongst yourselves. When you look at a Christian, Don't look as the world looks, but see how God sees. Isn't that encouraging? Isn't that amazing? And so God had this plan from the beginning. And I'm just going to quickly touch on something that we look at School of Nations. But God had this plan from the beginning. So theologically, right? And, you know, this is a very relevant topic. And we're not engaging with this. And it's not a church value because it's relevant. But it's something that is valuable to us because it's valuable to God, right? But at the same time, it's quite relevant, right? You would just have a look at the news and see all the accusations, racism, and fake racism. Who's seen some fake racism going on? Some of you that are Springbok followers would be very aware of fake racism. So, and obviously, you know, Springboks is a rugby sport, but it's politically very significant, the Springboks. A very important factor in uniting South Africans, if you look at 95. But there's been a lot of attacks on the team. I don't know if you've noticed, but it's every time it's an accusation. So just to give you a bit of example, and this is just to help us to engage with real world issues. And so there was the accusation. Who heard of the bomb squad earlier this week? Or was it last week? Recently. So the bomb squad are the guys on the bench. So they don't play the game from the start. They come up afterwards. And coincidentally, it happened that the guys on the bench were five, is it? White guys. And there was the scene on the rugby field. And the five guys stood in a circle. And Mapimpi, the wing, who was starting the game, wasn't part of the group. So it's sort of like, you know, our video, you can make it say anything you want if you just take it out of context, right? And so someone put it on YouTube, and they said, look at this racism. Mapimpi responded, he said, no, this is what happened. No, it's the bomb squad. There's this culture in the team. But if I was on the bench, I would have been part of the group because I would have been part of the bomb squad. So that's the one. Then there was another video, all right? One of the other players, Jesse Creel, was standing for the national anthem. And normally, if you know rugby, they stand in position from 1 to 15. So again, there's this video, and there's someone that narrates, and he says, look at this racism. And Jesse Creel, he says to his fellow center to stand next to him. But in the process, it looks like he's pushing out the... again, Mapimpi. poor Mapimpi is under flak, but he responded again. But it was just a practical thing. But everyone says, like, look at the racism there. So obviously, there's real need for understanding, right? And there's a real need for, I believe, the Christian answer is the only answer to true reconciliation, right? Any other answer is just superficial. But the Christian answer goes down to the heart, to the core. If you look at Acts chapter 17, it says that we are of one blood, right? And philosophically speaking, worldview speaking, but also spiritually speaking, we are of one blood if we are in Christ, right? And we're going to see now how Galatians puts it. But theologically speaking, we see that Abram in the New Testament is called the father of the Jewish nation, but he's also the father of the faith. So Jesus comes to a woman, and you know she's bent over backwards in pain, and forwards she's got back pain, and Jesus heals her, and there's this big dilemma because the Pharisees are not happy, and he says, but she's the daughter of Abram. Right? In other words, what Jesus was saying is she was right with God. I'm running through this quite quickly. But Galatians chapter 3 verse 7 says, therefore know that only those who have faith are sons of Abram. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith preached the gospel to Abram beforehand saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. All right, so the writer of the book of Galatians makes an incredibly powerful point here. He says, this thing that God is open to the Gentiles is not a New Testament thing. It's not suddenly when Jesus came that God decided to go to the Gentiles, or, you know, after Jesus with the book of Acts. God had always been, he always had a heart for all people, right? Not just the special people. And he speaks to the Jews, and he makes a very incredibly powerful point. And he says, your father, originally God came to him and he said to him, you will be a father of nations, right? Not a nation, nation. So you got it a bit wrong. Because you thought Abram was only your father, but no, God said he's the father of all nations, right? In you, all the nations will be blessed. In fact, Genesis puts it this way, Genesis 17 verse 4, as for me, God speaking, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. All right, and then back to Galatians chapter 3 verse 28 to 29, and we're going to end off with the scripture. There is neither Jew nor Greek. Powerful, powerful, powerful scripture. This scripture alters, you know, actually history. If you go and do research on the church and Christianity, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For all are one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abram's seed. And heirs, according to the promise. So heirs means we have an inheritance. There's something that we get that we didn't earn, right? We get it freely. God gives it to us. And so every nation, every culture in this world, there's a cultural blessing. There's something that a nation carries that is a blessing to the world, right? And we need to be students as Christians of different cultures. And prayerfully being students and saying, God, show us what you see on this culture. What is the blessing that this culture adds? It's so amazing when one goes on missions. You know, you get the opportunity to go to a different context and suddenly you see, look a bit different. Like you see things differently. It's amazing to see believers in another country. They follow God. They love God just as you do. Right? And then you discover, okay, well, they love God, but there's something unique here. I haven't seen that. That is a cultural blessing. That is something that God had designed that this culture would bring to the world, part of who he is. At the same time, every culture has a cultural iniquity, right? There's something that went wrong. Even as in our individual lives, we live in a sinful world. We are distanced from God as we come into this world. Because of our sin and the sins of our fathers, there's a separation, all right? So we live away from God, and then there's this breakdown, all right? But God comes and he redeems us. In the same way, God comes to redeem a culture. But the enemy is at work in culture as well. So there's something that is iniquity that needs to be redeemed in every culture, right? And it's a great exercise. In School of Nations, we sit and we say, let's prayerfully consider my culture. What is the blessing that my culture carries and brings to the world, right? But at the same time, what are the iniquities in my culture? What are the things that I need to face in myself and ask Jesus for his blood to cover and to heal, that iniquity will not continue? But we are all one in Christ, right? God comes to unite us. He comes to bring us and bind us together. So I'm going to pray for us this morning, and then I want to ask something a bit different. I want us just to sit in little groups, 4 and 5, and we'll end off the service like that. Just to say, what is on your heart? What do you see in the world? And you know, like I said, this world is really in need of life being spoken. You know, if you look at news and you follow social media and all of this, firstly, you can get discouraged quite quickly. But do you know what? That for every one person that stands up, whether they a bad leader or a good leader, you've got about 500,000 critics, right? And we as South Africans, in South Africa, we're quite bad at this, right? If just one guy stands up, you get a lot of critics, but you get very few people that stand up, right? And take leadership and, you know, has a godly vision, right? So we've been focusing a lot about vision. This morning is a continuation on vision. What is the vision that God gives you concerning, this is our context, right? This is South Africa. This is where God has placed us, right? So what is the vision that God has given you in this context? What do you see that you can contribute to this world? So let's pray, and then we can just have a quick family time, end of discussion, if you're comfortable with that. And then we'll break for some coffee and AGM. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for your word that is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. That God, you would come and you would, Lord, just bring us just the reality of your word, your living word, that it would penetrate our hearts this morning. We welcome your word, God. We welcome your word to live in us. We thank you that heaven and earth will pass away, but your word will remain. And so, Father, let your word find its right place in our hearts. And so, Father, we thank you, God, as I just sense right now, Holy Spirit, what you're wanting to do is you want to help us to discover. Some people, there are one or two people here, Lord, that you want to really just touch this morning. And you want to show them who they really are. God, and someone here just needs that encouragement from the Father. Every eye is closed, we can just respect this moment. If you are here this morning and you just need a little bit of this encouragement, I felt that the Father wants to just encourage, and he wants to bind up the wounded, right? And if you just feel a little bit discouraged, or maybe very discouraged, regardless of which one, why don't you just raise your hand and say, Father, I come before you this morning, and I receive your encouragement. So, Father, thank you for these hands. Is there anyone else? Just respond to him. Don't be afraid. Just say, I receive. One of the biggest thing in the Christian walk is just to be like little children. My kids, they know when how to receive, right? They come to me often, like 50 times a day. Daddy, can I have this? Daddy, can I have this? Daddy, can I have this? And it moves the heart of the Father, right? I want to just, if they ask me and the attitude is pure, then I just want to give it to them, right? And the Father is like that. So one of the things when we need to learn is just to receive. God, I receive. God, that's why sometimes worship can be really uncomfortable because it's 4 or 5 songs. But actually, it's an opportunity for you to firstly learn to give to God, and then secondly, just to learn to wait in His presence, because He always wants to give. He's a Father that gives. So if there's anyone else, let's just raise our hands as we become recipients. Father, we are recipients of Your grace. We thank You, Holy Spirit, that You come and bring comfort, God, to every person that needs just that little comfort, Lord. That little encouragement, that Holy Spirit, you would come close right now. We invite your presence and we expect, God. Your word says that he who draws near to me, I will draw near to him. And there's a reward for those who diligently seek him. And we choose to engage you, God. We choose to draw near and we receive your encouragement. I bless every person responding to you right now in the name of Jesus. Amen. If you're comfortable, little groups of 4 and 5. If not, you're welcome to have some coffee. If you're visiting us, remember to get your little cards at